about how easy it is to get sucked in to this military machine, especially now that we have this economic draft.
Hey, Larry, we have to wrap this up.
Okay.
I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to tell our listeners that we need a lot more normal people like you.
Well, I don't know about that. Is this Brian?
Yeah, this is Brian.
Okay, thanks, Brian and Mike. Yeah. Appreciate your time, and good luck with whatever you do.
Good luck to all of us.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that it's a privilege talking to you, and if it wasn't for people like you, Larry, I wouldn't get up in the morning. So thank you.
Well, no credit to me. Just keep Hugh C. Thompson Jr. and Glenn Andreotta in your thoughts. I just happened to be there.
Okay. Just happened to be an 18-year-old that was there.
So I stayed in my place, what I was told to do.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Larry. It's been a privilege.
All right, gentlemen. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
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 Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. It's 10 o'clock. Coming up very soon is Air Cascadia. You've been listening to a discussion with Jimmy Tardy, Brian Wilson, and Mike Hasty, speaking with Larry Colburn about the My Lai massacre in Vietnam in 1968. We're going to hear one announcement and then go right to Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the Creative Music Guild's third annual Improvisation Summit of Portland. This year's Improvisation Summit brings together creative and adventurous musicians, dancers, and improvisers for a weekend of diverse and unique performances. Featured artists include Tim Byrne, Bad Luck, Scott Kutchell, The Rich Halley Quartet, Ken Aulis and Senses Sharpened, Michael Sterling, Doug Terrio, Matt Carlson, John Gross, and many more. The third annual Improvisation Summit takes place June 6th and 7th at Sandbox Studios, located at 420 Northeast 9th in Portland. Additionally, the Creative Music Guild will screen the film Reach of Resonance on June 5th at the Portland Art Museum's Witzel Auditorium. For more information and tickets, go to creativemusicguild.org.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, May 28th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM, on the web, your community radio, because you make this happen. It's your membership that counts. Nothing else really does in the end, of 45 years and counting now. The North Clackamas East Multnomah County moved to amend affiliate. We'll be gathering signatures in support of our We the People Coalition initiative. It's an initial collection with 1,000 signatures required by June 4th. That's all. Come on, people. 1,000 signatures June 4th for submission to the Secretary of State to obtain a ballot, just a ballot title. That's all I want. But here's the big deal, in my opinion. And I like to say that because, you know, Every broadcast that claims to be news, that claims to be completely objective, everything has an opinion, whether it's conscious or a subconscious. Nonetheless, opinions are there. They do exist. And we at least are truthful about it and say straight up front, okay, here it is. The fact that the North Clackamas and East Multnomah County has a chapter of Move to Amend. That is part of the story here also. What this tells us is that in parts of our community that we don't normally associate with political activism, awareness, and an enormous awakening to some of the obstacles that stand in the way of us actually creating and practicing our own democracy, even in the parts of the community that we don't think of first when we think about these issues. Yeah, many, many movements are stirring out there. This just one amongst many. And in the early hours of Tuesday morning, Greenpeace activists from 12 countries blocked two separate oil rigs destined for offshore drilling in the Arctic Ocean. In the Dutch port of Imuiden, a group of 30 activists from Belgium, Germany, Austria, Italy, and the Netherlands scaled and occupied the GSP Saturn, an oil rig contracted by Gazprom, Russia's state-owned energy company. They unfurled a banner reading, "Save the Arctic." After 5 hours, officials removed and detained the activists. More about Greenpeace activists detained in Russia. Perhaps they'll start a special arm of the prison there to accommodate Greenpeace. We have a lot of news to get to. We're going to be speaking very shortly, too, with activists from the North Clackamas as Move to Amend affiliate. But more on the international front first before we get there. At the end of last month, on April 29th, Gaza's Ark, a refurbished boat that was set to sail in June from the port of Gaza out to sea carrying Palestinian export goods, was sabotaged when explosive devices, bombs, caused huge damage to the hull. Repairing this ship will cost about $30,000. The attack is still under investigation. And we know that the results of the Israeli investigation will find Israel to be completely in the clear, as always. And Gaza's Ark can be ready to sail this fall. There's a huge campaign underway right now to make that happen. Human rights activists have called for an International Freedom for Gaza Day coming up on May 31st. That date, of course, marks the fourth anniversary of the attack on the Mavi Marmara. That attack on the part of Israel, right, peace-loving Israelis, which killed 9 Turkish people, citizens, and a Turkish-American human rights activist. It was a brutal, bloodthirsty act of sheer terror that came in the middle of the night. People were trampled by Israeli Defense Forces rappelling down from helicopters hovering above the ship. It was calculated to produce the maximum terror, and it had no effect whatsoever on the activists, none whatsoever. People simply put up with detention in Israeli prisons and were released eventually, and carried on with their business of getting the Gaza Ark on the high seas, carrying with it trade goods from Palestine. So the only slowdown here is, of course, the necessary repairs to the ship that are ongoing right now. Actions drawing attention to the siege are going to be taking place in Gaza, Turkey, and around the world. That's coming up on May 31st. There will be actions here, of course, in Portland. And climate justice activists have blockaded the main entrance to Vermont Gas's headquarters and dropped a massive banner from the roof demanding that the company immediately cancel its plans to build a frack gas pipeline. Police are on the scene. The company's retail offices are effectively shut down for the day. We tried this morning to reach activists there, not been able to. A chance that Sarah Mihalik might be able to call us, but we'll have to see about that. She locked her neck to the main entrance of the building, which, of course, effectively blockaded the doors shut. And she did release a moving statement about why she undertook that action. I wanted to, although, again, one of the things that don't customarily indulge in is reading from quotations. But Sarah's words are, I find, inspiring. She says, don't forget, too, this is a woman with her neck locked to the main entrance of the building. She says, today, I'm taking action because Vermont Gas is intent upon shackling our communities to fossil fuels and condemning us to irreversible climate change. We have a responsibility to the communities whose land, water, and air are being poisoned by fracking, and we're determined to make sure that this fracked gas pipeline does not move forward. Today, we're here to tell Vermont Gas to cancel their construction plans or expect to see growing resistance. And indeed, they will. And thanks for that. I want to say thanks to Sarah for that. We would, of course, have preferred to have her live on the air, but we're not able to manage that right now. Reporters won't be able to keep up on the Eugene Police Department activity, bringing the headlines full circle, close to home, back to Cascadia, where we plant our feet. Nope, Eugene Police Department no longer will provide access to scanner traffic now that the department has shut off scanners used by local media. That's right. Although now they are enforcing laws whereby people who are being interrogated, those interrogations have to be carefully recorded and filmed. But of course, police scanner news, you can't. Local media around the Eugene area no longer have access to that. You know why? In case they get to the scene of the crime before the police do. Think that one over. After encrypting its scanner traffic to the general public last summer, Eugene police allowed, again, you know, shutting it down. But, you know, people find their way in. The resistance is like water. It seeks the path of least resistance. It finds its way through cracks and crevices in the fortresses of power and makes its way into the heart of the beast. And in some cases, is even capable of turning that heart around. In any case, returning to Eugene, after encrypting its scanner traffic to the general public last summer, Eugene police allowed media to continue accessing its main radio channel with new scanners acquired by the Register Guard local TV stations. Scanner traffic allowed reporters to hear officers responding to calls, pursuits, robberies, shootings, that sort of thing, in real time. Many law enforcement agencies throughout the country have scrambled their radio traffic in recent years, as it has become easier for the public to listen to police scanner feeds via various smartphone applications. Again, the military—it's symptomatic of the militarization of local police forces around the country. This is just Eugene. This is anti little town in Oregon, and yet the police. How much, I wonder, did it cost them for them to do that? Now, there are two final notes here that I want to take the time to emphasize. A Tibetan monk who worked on the 2008 documentary film critical of China's rule in the Himalayan region, it said that he escaped Chinese police custody in 2012 and fled to India last week after hiding out for 20 months. What Tibetans have done in the name of preserving their country's cultures and tradition has been extraordinary. The self-immolations continue. The depredations of the Chinese on historic structures such as the Potala, all that continues. And the fighting, the resistance continues to push back. Again, on the subject, and finally closing, on the subject of resistance and pushing back. Sometimes it's poetry that is the only way to express that resistance, to express the love and the glory of pushing back against an immovable force that we contend with on a daily basis, more so than ever now, because, again, let me remind you, and I cannot say this enough times, we live under the shadow of the USA Patriot Act. Don't forget it. Many people coming of age in these days of terror, of civic, of localized terror, many people don't realize that there is a reason for all of this. There's a reason for Edward Snowden being vilified by our very own Secretary of State, John Kerry. There's a reason for it. And that is the USA Patriot Act. Don't ever forget it. And don't ever forget Maya Angelou. She passed away. And in the moments I have left, I want to read just a few lines from a poem of hers that I love. It's called Still I Rise. The poem is Still I Rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may tread me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with glue? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still, I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame I rise, up from a past that's rooted in pain I rise, and I'm a black queen leaping and wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Maya,